This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Second down and 10. Sanchez is back to throw. He is going to be hit and sacked. And a fumble on the play. Patriots recover. The game is over.
The Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Snap to Brady in the shotgun. Looks, fires left wide open. That's a 30, 35, 40. Midfield to the 40. It is down the sideline and in for a touchdown to Patriot running back Shane Vereen.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Play action fake by Sanchez. Back to throw, gets rid of it. It's up. Oh, what a collision on Sean Green. He got labeled by who else?
Pow!
Brandon Spikes, and Sean Green is not getting up after this.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com radio. I'm Mark Bertrand. I'll be with you for the next couple of hours. We've got a lot to talk about, folks. If you watch this game tonight as a Patriots fan, you're coming away from this one with a terrible, terrible taste in your mouth, having watched this game and watched some of the things that unfolded late in this game, most notably the final play of the game, in which Rob Gronkowski was in the end zone and a flag was thrown as if pass interference was going to be called. And then the flag was picked up and without explanation, the officials ended the game. Patriots now 7-3 after falling to the Panthers tonight, 24-20, the final score. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500, that's the phone number for you to check on in on the phone lines. The lines are open, so jump on board. Email us, webradio@patriots.com. And you can send tweets my way as well during the show, @Mark_Bertrand on Twitter. And, of course, as you probably know by now, Mark with a C. I got to say, that ending to that game is extremely disappointing, and I think that's putting it lightly. You saw Tom Brady. You saw Ryan Mallett. You saw their reactions on the field to the call, or I should say the call and then non-call. The flag was thrown. The flag was then picked up. If it's not pass interference there, at the very least, it's got to be holding. And in that case, the Patriots should have at least another play in that game, at the bare minimum. What I still cannot understand and cannot fathom is how the referee saw something, which we all saw, which was Rob Gronkowski getting wrapped up basically in the end zone. They saw something enough to throw the flag, but then decided for whatever reason that they needed to pick it up. And you know what? I'm not even going to guess for them why it is they picked up the flag, because they couldn't even give us an explanation. They couldn't give the fans at the stadium an explanation, and they couldn't give the viewing audience an explanation. So I'm not going to sit here and figure out why it was that they picked up the flag. All I know is that they threw a flag, so they saw something they deemed worthy of a flag, and then picked it up. And when you have that happen a lot of times, at any part in the game, you see it all the time. If you watch NFL games, and I'm sure all of you do, that's why you're joining us here on Patriots.com, you get an explanation most of the time. The referees will turn on their mic and give an explanation as to why a flag was thrown and then why it was picked up. Doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to be an ad hoc soliloquy. It can just be a quick explanation of what happened on that play. Why was there a flag and then not a flag? Tonight, in a very important game for both the Patriots and the Panthers, in the critical moment, the final seconds of play, the final play of the game, a flag is thrown and then picked up, and we don't get an explanation. How can that be? How can that be the case? And that wasn't the only bad call that happened at the end of this game. There was a penalty that kept the Carolina drive alive, their final scoring drive alive, in which Devin McCourty was called for a hold. I can understand if you saw his hands, they got outside the numbers, and a lot of times that will draw a flag. But if you watched closely, McCourty trying to disengage from Greg Olsen, and Greg Olsen is hanging on to him. He's locked up his arm. And McCourty, knew what was happening and threw his arms out to show the ref, I can't get off of this guy. And that was another poor call. And I don't mean to rant about solely the referees, but that was bad in the final minutes. That was poorly officiated in the final minutes of this game tonight. That's inexcusable. Inexcusable that we don't have an explanation from the officials on the field as to why they decided to put the flag back in their pocket after throwing it on the final play of the game. There's a lot of other things we can look at in this game from a Patriots perspective that they could have done better, and we will. Again, 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. There are some second guesses in terms of the offensive play calling, one in particular on a third and one play in which the Patriots decided to pass instead of run. I think a lot of you probably have some thoughts on that play, so we'll get into that. Also, Stephen Ridley with a big, big fumble that I think, although it happened in the first half, came back to bite the Patriots in this game. Ball security for Stephen Ridley is a problem, and it continues to be one. And that's a drive in which you assume the Patriots would be coming away with some points, whether it be a touchdown or a field goal, and you're looking at a different type of game if Stephen Ridley is not coughing up the ball. It can be cliche when you say the game comes down to turnovers and winning the turnover battle. Well, the Patriots lost that battle tonight. They lost that battle in their streak of 36 straight games of forcing a turnover. That came to an end. It's over. 36 straight games, the longest active streak in the NFL, is now over. Patriots did not force a fumble in this game. They did not force Cam Newton into a situation where he would make a major mistake. So we can talk about those things, but it's hard not to be angry with the way the game was officiated late tonight. And again, the final score, Patriots 20, Panthers 24. Both teams now 7-3 on the season. Patriots will now turn their attention to their game next Sunday night here in Foxborough against Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos coming to town. But a very, very disappointing finish tonight in Charlotte as the Patriots fall to the Panthers. We're going to get right to the phones. And again, a couple of open lines still open for you here. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855-PATS-500. Let's start things off with Dave. He's in Connecticut. Dave, what'd you think about this game?
Hey, Mark. Unbelievable. You know, I just saw Belichick's press conference. I'm listening to Steve Young. I'm listening to Del Ferro right now. I'm listening to all these guys, and they're saying that was one of the worst calls they've seen. Okay. What the refs didn't say, because one of the they went to, like, you know, they had the head official who made comments about calls. He said it was uncatchable. But Steve Young just said it right there. This guy face guarded Gronk so bad that Gronk did not have an opportunity to come back to that ball. You know, I mean, this is unbelievable. I'm not saying they would have won the game, but once again, you know, we're 7-3. We're in good shape. I mean, you know, so we all get it off the ledge, but just got to rant tonight, man. I mean, this was a huge game. It really was.
Yeah, Dave, at the very least, they deserved another shot. I'm not saying that the call.
Even if they call legal contact on that beetle, something.
You know, they could call face guard, they could call hold, and they could have called anything.
Yeah, give him 5 yards instead of the.
Okay, I mean, you know, I think that was, I hate to say it, like a home field bullshit, you know, because they were in Carolina. If that was in Foxborough, that was holding. That flag would have stayed. Okay. I mean, it was so clear, you know. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I mean, I hate to go back to the Jets game, but, you know, two of our losses came from real shitty, questionable officiating calls.
Yeah, Dave, you know? I got to let you go on that one. Obviously very frustrating, and Patriots fans very upset after losing this game tonight to the Panthers 24-20. It comes down to this. They deserved another shot. I'm not saying that the call cost them a win. I'm not saying that it gave Carolina a win. It didn't do any of those things. But here's what it did. It got in the way of letting the players on the field determine the outcome. That's what I felt it did. I felt it wasn't the only questionable call. Of course, you had the other one with Devin McCourty and Greg Olsen. But that's what you do. When you make calls like that or you hesitate, throw a flag, pick up a flag, you're now interfering with letting the guys on the field determine the outcome of the game. And that's one of the worst things as a fan from you watching and being invested, obviously, as a Patriots fan. That's the worst thing to see happen is having the officials get in the way of what's going on the field. If you threw that flag, you saw something in that end zone.
And he correctly saw something.
That made you think Rob Gronkowski should have had a better opportunity to catch that football. If you are ruling it uncatchable, which again, we don't even know. We're going to wait for that pool report. We're going to get a pool report. There's going to be a reporter. I believe it's Mike Reese, the pool reporter for the Patriots media. Mike Reese will get a chance to talk to the officials and get an answer on why it was that the flag was picked up. So we'll get an explanation post game. We don't have one yet. But if it was to be ruled uncatchable by Rob Gronkowski, I would answer that by saying, well, okay, if you believe that was the case, why was it uncatchable? Because a guy took him out of the play? I don't understand it. If they saw something and threw that flag and their instincts were to throw that flag, what changed? What changed for them to pick that thing up? Justin's in Missouri. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I got two things. The first thing is, I think you've done a good job covering kind of the call, and I'm sure a lot of other people will talk about it. But what do you think about a rule change inside of 2 minutes where any defensive penalty resets the clock? There were two defensive penalties on that last drive, one that was called, one obviously at the end that was waved off. But I don't think that we should be incentivizing the defense to do this, even if they can just get three seconds off the clock and give the first down.
Yeah, you know, Justin, I'm actually in favor of such rule changes. The league has looked at it. The competition committee has looked into that possibility, and they have consistently decided against making that change. And this came up a couple of years ago with the Patriots in the AFC. Actually, I'm sorry, the Super Bowl against the Giants.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two years ago at the end of the Giants game in the Super Bowl. That was an issue in that game. And I know that after that Super Bowl and in the offseason, the competition committee discussed it, and they ultimately decided that they weren't going to put such rules in place. But, Justin, it's a good idea. I agree with you. There are going to be situations where it's better to commit a penalty or risk committing the penalty with the chance of running the clock and giving a team one final play but having it be a very difficult play to complete. I agree with what you're saying.
All right, yeah, absolutely. And then the second point is I know Ridley's contract is guaranteed through next year, but, man, after looking at tonight, I think there's two players that really tried to work themselves off the team, and that's Tlaib and Ridley.
You know, Justin, Tlaib, I think, is still dealing with the hip, and we saw him go off the field. He was not on the field late in the fourth quarter. Apparently he's got an aggravation of that injury, which, if it's still the case, I think is going to be an issue going forward. And it's going to be something to watch. I didn't think Aqib Talib played his best game tonight. I think if you saw this game, you looked at him and said, what happened to the guy we saw early in the season? I think it's easy. I think part of it is he's going up against a big physical guy in Steve Smith early. The other part is I think he's hurt. I think he's still dealing with something. So I think that plays into it with Aqib Talib. When you talk about Stephen Ridley, I got to be honest with you, Justin. That crossed my mind tonight as well. You know, these ball security issues for Stephen Ridley don't appear to be going away. They don't appear to be getting better. And it did. It crossed my mind. I thought, what will be Stephen Ridley's future with the team? And I'm not saying you go out and cut the guy tomorrow or cut him in the offseason. I'm talking about after his contract is up. Because how long do you go on like this? And when he's running and you hand him the football, I'll tell you, he's a really good running back. And he deserves a lot of credit for a lot of the good things that he does. But do you want to go on with a guy who in big situations, because I think that's when these fumbles tend to happen for him, in big situations, fumbles the football. And Bill Belichick tonight decided to eventually put him back in the game, and I was actually surprised by that. And there have been times when I've been critical of Bill Belichick for not putting Ridley back in the game, because honestly, fumbles happen. Fumbles happen for running backs. It's a part of the game. And sometimes guys make a good defensive play and they knock the ball out and It could be anybody running the ball, and they would have had the ball knocked out. But tonight's fumble for Stephen Ridley, I don't know that that was a really strong defensive play that led to that fumble. That was not taking care of the football. And so I wonder. But that's long term. We're trying to focus on what happened tonight. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number. It's the Xbox One postgame show on Patriots.com. Shane's in North Carolina. Shane, you're up next on Patriots.com.
Hi, guys. First time caller. First off, I'm a Panther fan, and I'd like to say I really enjoyed the game. It was a great battle that most of us thought it was going to be.
Yep. What else you got, Shane?
First off, I'd like to talk, and they've explained it twice now on ESPN exactly what the late night call was. He never had a chance to get back to the ball. It was too far out of his range. That's why they picked up the flag.
And that is ESPN commentator saying that, or who's saying that?
No, that's the referee for ESPN. That is the
Jerry Austin.
They bring in their Joe Blow referee who commentates on all the calls.
Sure. And what I'm waiting for.
And he explained it twice now that he was too far away from the ball. That's why they picked up the flag. He could not get through the ball, no matter if it was intercepted or not.
Yeah, and again, Shane, I really don't care what the experts, what the Mike Pereiras of the world, what all the officials that are now also working in the media. I want to hear from Cleet Blakeman. I want to hear from tonight's referee. That's the report that I'm waiting on. What does Cleet Blakeman have to say? He was the guy on the field. He's the head of the officiating crew. He's the ref out there tonight. That's what we're waiting on. And Mike Pereira, for what it's worth, and again, he didn't offer an explanation. This was just his opinion. I don't care for the explanations from anyone other than the officials who were on the field tonight. Mike Pereira said his thoughts, since the flag was thrown, they should have stayed with the call. There was clear contact before the ball was intercepted. And I think that's how anyone would feel. Anyone who's your average
NFL
fan, right? I mean, listen, you throw the flag. You saw something that was worthy of you in your mind of throwing that flag. And you're not going to explain what changed?
No, I know.
I mean, listen, sometimes A ref throws a flag because he believes a penalty should have been called a certain way. And then you get another ref who said, well, did you notice that? Let's give another play, for example. Whether or not a ball was catchable. Another ref comes in and says, listen, that ball was way in an uncatchable area. That shouldn't be a penalty. And you know what? They get together and they make the right call and they explain it. Tonight, they throw the flag, pick up the flag, wave it off, and game's over. What? When does that happen?
To me, I thought maybe they might be changing the call from PI to legal contact to a hold, something a little less, you know, which...
When I saw the Patriots' reaction, I thought maybe that's what they're mad about.
Which still would have irritated me, but I would have understood a little bit more. Maybe the original point of contact between Kuechly and Gronk came before Brady released the ball, Mark. You know, that's, I was thinking it might be something like that, but to just wave it off completely, just, I don't know, egregious.
Yep. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And there's already, you know, still shots circulating of the ball being thrown in the air, the ball in the air, and the ball, you know, 10 to 15 yards from ever reaching Rob Gronkowski, and he's already wrapped up and being taken out of the play.
And he's clearly looking back for the football and slowing down in an attempt to try to at least come back or at least stop his progress from going to the back of the end zone, Mark. And who are you to say, as an official, that, what, arguably, if you know, the best, if not the second or third best tight end in this generation of tight ends, can't get to that ball or wouldn't have been able to at least make a play on that ball.
Let's go to LaRon. He's in New York. Hey, LaRon.
How you doing, my man? First time caller.
Thanks. What's going on?
Oh, my gosh. I can't take this, man. Second game, one to the Jets and now this right here. It's ridiculous, if you ask me. My thing is about Josh McDaniel, that 31 play, you know.
Yep.
He always does. Get down there and he tries to be cute. Instead of doing what we did down the whole field, running that ball down their throat. And even if it's 31, maybe Bill Check might go for it on fourth down.
Oh, that's over, man. Have a good day.
All right, Laurent, thanks for the call. I feel your frustration at third and one play. That's not what I was looking for there, to be honest with you. I thought third and one, opportunity there for the Patriots to pick up a first down on the ground. And this is, as Laurent said, this is not the first time we've run into this situation. Josh McDaniels can get a little cute every now and again. That was late in the third quarter. You get that pass to Vereen. And it's just, I don't know. I just, there's so many things to be frustrated with in this game. Let's talk to Chris. He's in California. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, bud? Hey, first and foremost, just want to say Pats Nation, dude, no matter, I don't care, no matter what. Second of all, let's rewind it a little bit to the Aaron Dobson pass in the end zone with the one-handed grab.
Yes.
If they're saying that that pass was ruled uncatchable by Gronkowski, yet Aaron Dobson can reach out one-handedly and try and grab that pass, it's impossible. There's why even throw the flag at all? I mean, and second of all, too, what started the whole rundown of our defensive line was with Tlaib. I mean, he needs to get his head in the game. I mean, he let Steve Smith just in his head and ruin his whole night for him.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I've never seen him that riled up before, where he's getting shoved on the ground by his own teammates because he can't control himself.
You know, I think you got some valid points there, Chris. Patriots lose tonight. Your final score, 24-20, the final. Panthers now 7-3. Patriots 7-3 on the year. Very disappointing on a number of levels. Disappointing, obviously, the Patriots losing this game. And we're going to have to hear from Bill Belichick on this. I want to hear from Tom Brady. We're going to bring you all of that. Get you caught up on what's happening down in Charlotte with the referee situation. What do they have to say about this? I want to hear from Kalief Blakeman. I want to hear from the ref in this game. I want to hear from the officials on the field. I don't care about all these other explanations. I want to hear from the guys who picked up the flags. What did they have to say about it? We'll get to the good, the bad, the injured. We'll do all of that. We'll hear from Tom Brady. We'll hear from Bill Belichick. We'll go inside the Patriots locker room. And, of course, we will get to more of your calls at 855-PATS-500. All of that coming up next on the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots Postgame Show with Mark Bertrand.
All right, let's get to the good, the bad, and the injured from this game. Should we start with the good, Kev? I think we should start good. Let me put some kind of positive note on things here. And I will keep this as brief as possible because I do want to get right back to your phone calls and continue to get your thoughts on things. All right, what do we got for the good tonight? I'll tell you what, I think the good, I'm going to put at the top of my list, Shane Vereen. I'm going to put him in the good list. And I'll tell you why. Shane Vereen coming back off of his injury, 8 catches, 65 yards, came up big on a lot of third down plays, 8 catches on 11 targets. I'll tell you what, on the final drive, the pass that Brady threw to Vereen on the sideline that hit him in the hands has me a little bit upset with Shane Vereen, because you got to get that one, Shane. You got to have that one. Got to have that catch. If you want to be the superstar we all think you can be, you've got to make that grab. But on the whole, he had a very good night. He had a very good night on the whole. And so Shane Vereen is on the good list. He only carried the ball once. In terms of rushing, once for 7 yards, but 8 catches on 11 targets. I'm going to put him in the good. In the good category. Danny Amendola quietly with 6 catches tonight on 7 targets, 45 yards. Longest catch of the night, 13 yards. Put him on the good list. I'll put him on the good. Kenbrell Tompkins, 2 catches, 60 yards, and the longest one being 37, got them down near the goal line. I'm going to put him on the good. Coming back after being inactive. Comes back off the bye week, focused, ready to go. And Tompkins is in there, makes a couple of catches. I'm going to put Rob Gronkowski. I'm not going to put him on the bad list. He didn't do anything that would lead to me saying he was bad tonight. He was fine. 5 catches, 59 yards, and a touchdown. 5 on 7 targets tonight. I wish he was a little bit more involved, but I'm going to put him on the good list for his offensive contributions on that front. And because he was used to block a good chunk of the night, they needed him up front to push some guys around. And how about his touchdown? How about classic Gronk, as I tweeted out when that happened, taking three guys in along the way with him. Just big physical play from Rob Gronkowski. So he's on my good list. Tom Brady, 29 of 40 tonight, one TD, one pick. Quarterback rating 91.2. I'll put him on the okay list. I didn't see anything from Tom Brady that would put him on the bad list. We'll put him on the good list too. Leading rusher for the Patriots tonight was LeGarrette Blount, 10 carries, 49 yards. Stephen Ridley, 13 of 48, and this is where the bad list begins, for the offense at least. Stephen Ridley on the bad list. That fumble, I know he had a touchdown after it, but the fumble for Stephen Ridley, that was a big thing in this game. Can't have that happening. So Stephen Ridley is on the bad list today. As far as the defense goes, Rob Ninkovich, absolutely on the good list. No surprise there. No surprise at all from Rob Ninkovich, who continues to be consistent and be a leader on this defense. Tonight with a pair of sacks. Quality, quality game from Rob Ninkovich. Chandler Jones, I thought Chandler Jones had a decent night. And again, you mentioned these guys on the outside on defense. They didn't have an easy task in dealing with Cam Newton tonight. Cam Newton ended up throwing for 209 yards. In terms of rushing, he ran for 62 yards, and I'm okay with that. I mean, there were a few plays in which he was able to take off and run, but I thought they held Cam Newton in check. I think we would have liked him to the defense to force him to make a few more throws, but I'll take it. I'll take it. And I think they did a decent enough job to try and hold Carolina in check. On the bad list for the Patriots defense, the secondary. A lot of bad things happening in that secondary. Whether it be Aqib Talib early on, he got into a little bit of a scuffle there, a little bit chippy with Steve Smith. Not a big deal. The second time around, though, was a little much. And right in front of the referee grabbing his helmet. Listen, I know Steve Smith can be a royal. We'll call him a pest. He's one of those guys that gets into stuff with opposing players all the time. Jawing at other players and aggravating and getting under the skin. But Aqib Talib, I mean, he did try to punt. If you saw on the ground, Talib went to the ground on the first tackle, wouldn't let go. And he's trying to throw a punch into the thigh of Smith. It didn't seem to affect Smith very much. And you got into a situation where there was a penalty called. Come on, Aqib. You're better than that. And in fact, you're better than what you showed in terms of coverage tonight because you weren't very good. Which was, again, I don't think it's just because he had a bad night. I think he's hurt. I think that's why he's not showing his best stuff. I think the guy's dealing with an injury and he's trying to play through it. And so I give him all the credit in the world for that. I give him all the credit in the world for being out on the field. But in terms of how he played tonight, not so good. Kyle Arrington, not so good. Devin McCourty, he's had better nights. So the Patriots secondary seems to be a little bit of a problem. And, of course, the final touchdown for Carolina. McCourty getting beat by Olsen. They just weren't very good in the secondary tonight. The Patriots defense, not their best game back there. So the defensively, secondary on the bad list. The guys up front, I think they did a good job. Rob Ninkovich and Chandler Jones, I thought they did a really nice job keeping Cam Newton in check tonight, but that secondary, to me, is a problem for this Patriots team. So again, 855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855-PATS-500. Also on the bad list, the officiating, that's obvious. We'll throw them on the bad list. The injured. Only injury we had tonight, as far as I can remember, Michael Manawanui, who man left the game, dealing with a knee problem, which he had had earlier in the year. He was dealing with a knee thing. So he left the game. That's the only official injury, but Talib leaving the game in the fourth quarter, that's an injury to keep an eye on. Kyle Arrington had his thigh wrapped, apparently, according to some tweets of those covering the game. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens with those guys. But the only guy to actually come out of the game tonight was was who, man? And also, Tom Brady. Tom Brady tonight, what's going on with the hands? I don't know if you caught. Did you catch the elbow high fives during tonight's game? Tom Brady obviously banged up, but again, Iron Man trying to play through things. And it didn't seem to affect him, to be honest with you. He looks pretty good even after having whatever injury he is dealing with, which I think he is dealing with. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. We're going to hear from Bill Belichick coming up just a few short minutes from now. But before we do that, we go back to your calls and get your thoughts on this game and how it all unfolded in the fourth quarter. Next up, Joel in Atlanta. Hey, Joel.
Hey, Mark.
What's happening?
Man, I'm frustrated and disgusted about the win. I mean, I'm sorry, not the win, the loss. It seems like we're saying the same names as far as with who's on the bad list, the Kyle Arrington, the McCourties. To me, we should not allow this game to be in the ref's hands. We're a much better team than what we showed out there on the field. We're a much better team than the Panthers. Offensively, defensively may not, but offensively, we're a much better team than that. And I think tonight we were just off offensively and defensively, and we can't go into next week against the Broncos and play like that because it'll be a blowout. So, I mean, we got to get better. I don't know what the Patriots are going to do with Kyle Arrington. I don't know about anybody else, but if you're a Patriots fan, he reminds me of Ellis Hobbs. And you knew where Ellis Hobbs ended. With the situation and what happened, we played the Giants and Eli threw it to Burris. To me, that's Kyle Arrington. That's just a rebirth of Ellis Hobbs. We just need to let him go. But I mean, very disgusted. But looking forward to next week, and hopefully we'll play better and we'll be able to, you know, show the world, because we're on the world stage right now. Playing the Monday Night Football and then next week with Sunday Night Football, that we're better than what we are.
Yeah, not a lot of time here before the Patriots turn their attention to the Denver Broncos who come to town next weekend. Joel, thanks for the call. Much appreciated as we talk about this game and what's going to happen here in the next few minutes. Mike Reese has tweeted out that, as is protocol, pool reporters ask the questions of referees. Their remarks are recorded and reviewed, and then they are disseminated at the same time to all members of the media. So a pool report with referee Cleet Blakeman's explanation will be disseminated to reporters at the same time, and as soon as that is made available, we will have that explanation for you as to what it was that was seen on the field. I mean, we're talking about an official throwing a flag just a few short yards away from the play, and the consultation with other refs who were nowhere near the play ended up back in the pocket. It just doesn't make sense. What did you see? What did you see? And why did you pick up the flag? Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. The guy with the best view of the play threw the flag. How does that not stand up? Emails coming in. webradio@patriots.com. Send in your emails. Dan, the BI man, writes in, "I am so disgusted by the call. It's not an uncatchable ball. Panthers linebacker pulled Gronk down. That should have been a flag. One thing I want to ask is, why do we get these kinds of calls all the time and in vital moments? Three times already. What happened to Tlaib? Is he still hurt? He's like three steps behind Smith on every play. Overall, a good game and a simple one. Is the ref a new one?" Dan, the BI man. I think Tlaib is hurt, Dan. I think that's what's going on. Your referee tonight, Cleet Blakeman, has been in the NFL since 2008. He came in and worked the 2008 and 2009 seasons as a field judge. And then he became a referee in 2010. He came to the NFL after an officiating career in the Big 12. So he was a former college ref, came to the NFL in 2008, and this is his fourth season as an NFL referee. So he is one of the newer ones. He's not new, but he is one of the newer referees in the NFL. Webradio at Patriots.com. Webradio at Patriots.com. That's where you can send your emails. I'm still getting, as many of you are emailing, the still shots of the football coming into the end zone and Rob Gronkowski being wrapped up in the end zone. And it's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious that there was a lot of contact there in that end zone. And the fact is, would you feel better had the referee not thrown a flag? I almost feel worse knowing that a flag was thrown and then it was picked up. I think that almost makes it worse. It's almost like you would rather they just not throw the flag and say,
it's a joke.
You know what? End of the game, as it is in many games, and I don't like it. I think it's wrong.
It's so ridiculous.
I think it's wrong when they say, oh, it's end of the game. You can't let a call decide the game. I hate that attitude. Call the game the way it's supposed to be called. Enforce the rules the way they are supposed to be enforced. You don't just all of a sudden say penalties are off in the final minute.
Yeah, I don't think. While you can't let a call or a penalty decide a game, you can't let a no call decide a game, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I think it's. I just think that when you throw a flag and then you pick it up, it's the ultimate sin.
Is it bad?
Especially when you had it right. You had the play right.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be something. Maybe not PI, but it's got to be something. And I was just going to ask you, is it bad that I want to put my fist through this glass between us right now?
Yeah, don't do that.
It's getting worse and worse as I hear all this nonsense come through on Twitter.
Don't do that.
Take some phone calls.
What's the nonsense on Twitter?
No, it's just like you see so many screenshots of the play and you see so many.
That's not nonsense. That's truth.
No, but what I'm saying.
That's truth, Kevin.
I know, but what I'm saying is you see the evidence against this, Beetle, against the decision that was ultimately made here is just mounting. And the only, you know, pundit slash former official that you see even explain or trying to defend the call is off. Everybody else wants nothing to do with it and is saying it's a terrible call. I mean, you have anchors at ESPN, SportsCenter anchors, Beetle, tweeting that, you know, not even a Patriots fan, but they got screwed. You know what I mean? So people that hate the Patriots are even saying, you know, they got robbed, which is just, oh my God.
And
I thought I couldn't take any more after the Jets game. I mean, I really wanted to strangle somebody after that game, and now I just want to hit somebody.
This is twice this season that we've had games on the final plays have some controversial calls. Am I missing any? This one, the Jets game?
Can't think of any.
I mean, it just seems like.
But these two are just, they hit close to home, obviously,
yeah,
for us.
Right. Just obviously. Let's go back to the phones. As you said, calm down in there. Would you? Don't put your fist through the glass. We don't need that. We definitely don't need that. I'm not cleaning it up if you do it either.
It's late at night. I'm cranky.
I'm just putting that out there right now. I'm not cleaning it up. Nick's in Ohio. What's up, Nick?
Hey, I'm pretty disappointed about the entire game, except for the way Shane Vereen played, Ninkovich, Chandler Jones got too deep on that play where Cam Newton ran for a first down. And I want to know, if you're Bill Belichick, what are you saying right now in the press, when he goes to his press conference?
What am I saying if I'm Bill Belichick?
Yeah.
I'm probably going to keep my mouth shut because it's not worth it. If I'm Bill Belichick, I don't get anything out of going to the podium and berating the referee. Maybe I make a small mention of it, but I don't know what it is that he could say that could make the situation any better than what it is. That is one of the things that I think we all appreciate about Bill Belichick, is that things like this, you know, he's going to be able to make his team move on from it and start looking to Denver. I'm sure Bill Belichick is as angry about how the game ended as we all are, but he knows he has a game next Sunday night and he doesn't have a ton of time to prepare for the Denver Broncos, who are coming in off a big win over the Kansas City Chiefs. I also, Kev, maybe you can check on this, and we'll get on this in a couple of minutes. I'd like to know what happened to the line on next Sunday night's game. Curious if that changed, though. We were talking about that in the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. The Patriots are a home underdog for the first time since 2005, heading into next weekend's game against the Broncos. Where are they at now? Did it go to even more of an underdog in terms of the spread on that game due to their loss tonight? It was something I wanted to watch. I'll tell you what. When Tom Brady and when the Patriots get angry and they're coming back home after being angry about something, just saying, look out for them next weekend. Look out. Greg's in Georgia. What's up, Greg?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Well, considering the situation, what's going on?
Hey, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I need an explanation, man. How come that wasn't pass interference? Or at least holding?
You and I are both waiting for the explanation because I don't have one for you.
Okay. My bad is probably I came to leave and not really the Patriots defense because I think they played enough to win. But what happened with the play calling? It seems like they was putting 8 and 9 people in the box and we were still trying to run against that and not pass against that.
You know, I think that's a huge point in terms of – I would disagree about third downs. I would disagree on third downs because I went back and looked. They threw on almost all of their third downs in this game. But in terms of being determined to run, there were times tonight when it looked like Carolina might be vulnerable to throw against them, and they were determined to run the football. It looked like at times they were going out of their way to run the ball.
Yeah, I couldn't understand it. I'm screaming at my screen. I'm saying, just throw the ball. There was a point in time in the third quarter where Tom Brady, his completion, there was no drop passes, but they were still trying to stay committed to the run. I was confused.
Yep. And you got anything else just before I let you go?
No. Just appreciate all that you do and still pissed off at this win.
Yeah, I think
it's a lot. I'm sorry.
I think a lot of people are. Greg, thanks for the call. Much appreciated. Chris is in Daytona. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
It's going okay.
Good, thanks. Just wanted to mention, I kind of got the feeling the game was in trouble when the Patriots didn't go for it on a 4th-and-1. And I just kind of want to get your thoughts on that. Just the way the Panthers were moving the ball down the field, meeting up the clock. Do you feel like they should have gone for it there? I'm not sure if you talked about this already.
I think that if you're looking at this game, I don't think that was a major turning point. Did you really feel like that was it?
Yeah, just because the Panthers were taking, you know, each drive was 5 minutes on the clock, and I really felt like if they didn't get a touchdown there, then, you know, they might go down the field and score on us and leave us not with enough time left, you know, to make a difference.
Yeah, there was, there was 6:35 or so to go. Right, yeah, it was just over 6.5 minutes when they decided to kick the 26-yard field goal. I think that was a situation where you had to take the points. You had to take the points there.
I do feel like they were really running the ball pretty well on them at that time. I feel like they could have gotten a 1 yard, you know, and kept the drive alive. But I just
not to mention the drive before that for Carolina was a 3-and-out, Chris. They had forced them 3-and-out at that point. Patriots got the ball back, and, you know, they had that short drive. They kicked the field goal, and they have the lead at that point. So you've got the lead 6.5 minutes to go, and you had just forced a 3-and-out on Carolina. I don't know that I would second-guess that one all that much, but, hey, you are very much entitled to your opinion.
All right, well, thanks for taking my call, Mark.
All right, Chris, take it easy. Appreciate you checking in. I didn't feel that way when that happened. I thought that was an automatic.
I thought they were in trouble when they didn't score the touchdown and take advantage of great field position. They started at the Carolina 40, and at that time in the game, I thought if they score a touchdown here, you really put the screws to Carolina because they probably only have one possession left. I did not feel like they should go for it, however. But I hated the play call on 3rd-and-1. I hated it.
If you go for it.
No, you don't go for it. But what I'm saying is, you don't get to 4th down, I think.
Well, the 3rd-and-1 is the second guess here.
That's what I'm saying. You don't get in that position if you try to put the ball in LeGarrette Blount's belly, or you tried Tom Brady's quarterback sneak, which you did earlier in the game.
Which works like 999 out of 1,000 tries.
Yeah, I just,
we've run the stats on that. It's foolish how many times Tom Brady has converted on a play of 2 yards, not just 1 yard or less.
Yeah.
2 yards or less on 3rd or 4th down,
yeah.
Tom Brady in his career is ridiculously off the charts.
Yeah, I don't necessarily mind the kicking of the field goal. I think they should have, but I just hate the way they got to 4th down.
Couple of things here. Couple of things on the Tom Brady sneak. Tom Brady had already hurt his hand at that point in the game. So are you sneaking the football with Tom Brady, having maybe banged up the hand on one of those sneaks. I'm not sure. I mean, he was hit around tonight. Tom Brady, and by the way, bad list. I don't know how we forgot to talk about this. It's one of the major points going into the game. And I'll tell you, this game tonight went exactly how most of us talked about how it would probably end up. Close, right to the end, for the most part, in the low 20s. I mean, it was to a T. The front seven for Carolina being very physical, creating pressure. The offensive line for the Patriots, would they be able to handle it? We had our doubts. And this is where I get back to the bad list. The Patriots offensive line tonight, they looked how they've looked all year, which was average at best. Average at best. They couldn't protect. They could not protect. And at times, Tom Brady had some quick feet. He had those happy feet at times because he was trying to avoid pressure, and some of it he created in his own mind. And I'm not sure I blame him for it. The offensive line was average tonight. But the third down play is the one you question. The incomplete pass to Dobson. I mean, I didn't like that play call. That's the play where on third down, you run the football. And then if you come up half an inch short, then maybe you start thinking about the possibility of going for it on fourth down. But still, I still would have kicked the field goal. Take the lead. If you go for it on fourth down and don't get it, and you're giving the ball back to Carolina, all they need is a field goal to take the lead in the final 5 minutes of the game. I don't want that. Another thing, not that I care, but there was a complete lack of urgency from Carolina on their final drive. I don't know if anyone noticed that. They took over at 6:32. It actually ended up working in their favor. They ran 5.5 minutes off the clock. That's how they only left the Patriots with 1 minute. It's like they were nonchalant. 13 plays on that drive. And it just seemed like they were not working with any sort of urgency. And in the end, Ted Ginn, who, by the way, Ted Ginn sucks. Can I just say that? Hate to be so crass about it. Ted Ginn stinks. He's not all that great. I hated that play just because it was Ted Ginn, just because I don't respect his level of play. Ted Ginn for the 25-yard touchdown. That play right there let Carolina off the hook. That allowed them to go 25 yards for a touchdown on that one play. And that goes, again, back to the Patriots defense. And back to
the secondary. Let them off the hook.
Yeah, we let them off the hook. They let them off the hook with that play. They let their, you know, lollygagging not get in the way. I mean, where was the coaching from Carolina? See, that's where I thought, Gav. I said, here we go. Here's the Carolina coaching staff with no urgency. They're going to screw this thing up. They're going to run out of time. And what do? They ended up hooking up with Ted.
And we let him off the hook.
Ted freaking Ginn for a big 25-yard touchdown. 25-yard touchdown at Ted Ginn.
Yeah, I think that was like 2nd and 15 from the 25. If Arrington plays that and comes up and makes a tackle, it's probably 3rd and 5 to 7 yards and.
Yep.
They're in decent shape there.
Yep. Instead, they, as Denny Green would say, let him off the hook.
And once he broke open, you know, and got the first down, I was like, let him score. You know, thankfully he did, and it gave the Patriots at least a little time.
But. So there's the second guess. The second guess is third down, not fourth down. Dan is in Ohio. What's up, Dan? Yo, Dan. All right, we'll see if we can connect with Dan. We'll go to Marcus. He's in Miami tonight. What's going on, Marcus?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
I just want to say that we got robbed. I mean, I'm looking at that play like, how do you not call that? I mean, it's one of those things where we got robbed with the Jets. We get robbed here. I think the bigger picture is, I mean, going back to last year, the Seahawks game, I think the Ravens game, is it me or is it Kyle Anderson always out of place where he's always getting beat for a touchdown that makes us lose a game? Am I lying when I say that?
Nope.
Do you guys see the same thing?
Nope. I think everybody sees that with Kyle Arrington, which I'll tell you what, I've been very much down on Kyle Arrington for most of his Patriots career. And I thought at the start of the year after signing his contract in the offseason to remain with the team, I thought Kyle Arrington really turned a corner. I thought he looked great in the first 2 weeks of the season. I thought he looked fantastic, and he has not looked like that player since.
That's three. Well, how much are we paying him? Like $2 million or $3 million this year?
I'll get you the details, but he's making more than just a living.
Yeah, he's a really good slot cornerback. But I mean, and honestly, I would have put Denard, if he was available, I would have put him on Steve Smith, because Denard ain't no punk. Obviously, you see, he's got his off the field troubles, but I would have those two little guys going at it. Denard can cover anybody in the league. I put Sleeve, and Steve Smith got in his head. But I mean, when they threw it to Buddy Ted Ginn, and I saw good old 25 fall down high, I just shook my head. It is like, you know, it is what it is. I mean, if you have to rob us to win, the bigger picture for us, I mean, we really got to focus in the next 6 days. We got Sunday Night Football, but I mean, I can't. We have two losses because we were robbed twice.
Yeah, let's run through at least two more.
And everybody's gonna. They're really gonna fire it up tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning on first take, because they know they robbed it. Looking at Twitter right now.
Right,
that's on one.
I think it's pretty unanimous. Pretty much everyone out there is looking at this game. Patriots fans, non-Patriots fans, and saying, "What happened there? What? Why would you pick up that flag?" And Marcus, while I still got you on the line, Kyle Arrington's contract that he signed last offseason, 4 years, $16 million in all. $6.5 million signing bonus, $8 million guaranteed.
I know he had a kid. I understand that. I mean, the kid's a good slot corner, but goodness gracious. I mean, I remember seeing him, Sidney Rice beat us in that Seattle game. I know he cost us something in that Arizona game when Brandon Spikes gets a fumble and Gutkowski misses a field goal. Our losses just all seem they look alike. But, I mean, I think we just got to really focus on this. The spotlight's back on us. What are we going to do on Sunday night? And after that, let's just try to improve our season. We can't go on the road, man. It's one of those things where everybody knows we should have won this game. We should have beat the Jets. The Jets are frogs. They win, they lose, they win, they lose. What kind of consistency is that? But, I mean, it is what it is. You guys have a great night. I'm going to continue listening. I got a This is one of those losses that you just if that's how you got to beat us to win, enjoy.
You shake your head and you try and move on. That's what you try to do, Marcus. Marcus, thanks for listening. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate your call. 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number. We got one open line right now, so if you want to grab it, do it right now. Jake's in Pittsburgh. Hey, Jake.
Hey, what's going on, Mark?
Nothing. What do you got?
Well, first off, I want to say if it was the Broncos, I'm sure that flag wouldn't have been picked up.
What do you, you mean if it was Patriots against the Broncos or Broncos in that situation?
Broncos in that situation, Peyton Manning, they would have definitely kept the flag on the field.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know what I think is bigger than just who the teams were? I think it was a matter of if that game is in Foxborough tonight, that flag doesn't get picked up. If it was Denver, you know, if it was Manning and the Broncos here in Foxborough, the flag does get picked up. I think the home crowd, the home stadium, I think all that stuff plays into this when they picked up that flag. I think they were influenced by the people in the building there tonight, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And New England did get a few calls earlier in the game, so I think they, you know, the crowd was getting pretty restless. But I want to get your opinion on this. I mean, I'm getting frustrated watching this team lose in a similar fashion because I mean, there's an easy formula out there to beat New England, and if you have a good defense and a decent offense and you can kind of smack the Patriots in the mouth, their defense is going to eventually crack in the end. You rough Brady up. I mean, it's been like this since 2007, and all their playoff losses, 2010, 2011 in the Super Bowl, and last year against Baltimore, have all been similar. So, and you had a similar game tonight, and I'm just concerned because it just seems like I don't know when they're going to want to fix this. But it just seems like year after year it's the same formula, and they're going to get into the playoffs again. They're going to play a team like they did Baltimore last year, a good defensive team, and they're probably going to lose. And I don't know why Belichick continues to ignore the problem. I mean, because it's been like this for like 5 years.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, you know, some things you could question in terms of roster composition. But in terms of the coaching, in terms of getting the team prepared on a week-to-week basis, I don't think there's anything that you could really question about the team. I mean, when you say it's been broken, if broken is going to the Super Bowl and going to the AFC Championship game, I'm not so sure the system is broken. Maybe there's a few moves you would have liked to have gone differently or a few coaching decisions that could have gone differently, but it's not like the thing is broken. I think that's a little more than a slight overstatement of what's happening. Let's go to our buddy Jeff from Vegas, who always calls in pregame. Jeff, I'm guessing it wasn't a good night for you.
Yeah, not good at all, Mark. They don't get much more frustrating than this. The key play of the game was that third down. I mean, you got to run it up the gut, and that's what allowed Carolina to lollygag it down the field, is only being down three. You have to go up seven there, and then you can really put the pressure on them. And the caller's right. I mean, we lose the same way each time, and it's so frustrating. Just like these Super Bowls, we don't have playmakers on defense, and our vaunted turnover streak ended tonight, did it not?
Yeah, it ended. 36 games, it's now come to a close.
And we just can't make a play in the Super Bowl, and it's the same most incredibly frustrating game you could possibly endure. Both Super Bowl losses to the Giants the exact same way, limited possession, unlimited third down conversions. These teams just convert third down after third down, just like Newton did all night. And I can't complain against that penalty at the end of the game. It was a miracle he got it that close anyhow. It's a very low percentage you get the ball back if you have to go 80 yards with 57 seconds left. And they got tons of penalties on the drive that Ridley fumbled on. That was extended by like three penalties. They had like seven or eight penalties that extended drive right up to the Dobson penalty. So I don't know how much you can really complain about that. You got to stick it in on 31 and go up by seven. Not this finesse, crackerjack, Josh McDaniels play action fake on 3rd and 1 when you're running it down their throat.
Yeah, I, the 3rd and 1 play is the huge second guess. Huge second guess. And I'll tell you what, Jeff, I do disagree about going for it on 4th down. But the 3rd down play call, I think, was bad. That was an opportunity to run the football and get the 1st down. And they chose to pass again. And that's, you know, something I'd love to hear someone, if they do talk to Josh McDaniels this week and he talks about some of the decisions on offense. I'd love to hear the explanation, because maybe there's a good one for why they made that decision. But just on the surface, having watched the game tonight, I hated the call. I didn't like it at all. And if I was in, you know, his situation, I would not have called that play. And it obviously, hindsight 2020 factors in. The Patriots were 5 of 10 on 3rd down tonight, 50%. All 5 of their conversions on 3rd down did come on a passing play. They converted all 5 of their 3rd downs, which they converted in this game, they did on a passing play. Maybe that was a part of it. They had added a lot of short stuff to Ridley that had worked. And maybe that was, you know, part of the thinking, that they were having success throwing the football on 3rd down. Why not try it again? Maybe that factored in. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. But I hated the play call. I really did. Let's go back to the phones and get more of your thoughts. Dan is in Ohio. Hi, Dan. All right, Dan, going to let you go there, bud. Couldn't connect with you. We'll go to Matthew in California. Hey, Matt.
What's up, Mark?
How you doing?
Well, I'm not listening to this show, but I'm not really that mad that we lost, even though I should be. But I don't know, because I saw Tom Brady do something that he hasn't done in a while, and he played good against a physical defense. He played really good against a physical defense. Some drives he was going down the field, it just looked like he was picking them apart. Amendola played good. He made some pretty clutch passes, and that's that. Like, and I've just seen the Patriots do something that they haven't done in a really while, and that's they beat themselves. All of, like, if really doesn't fumble the ball, maybe we score a touchdown, we score a field goal. Either way, we go back. If we put the same scenario, we go down the field, and we score another field goal, and then we're up. We win. But it's like, I think we beat ourselves, and it was just a really weird way. But I'm not really mad at the way we played, and I'm not really listening to your show, but I'm pretty sure Talib's in the bad list. But so maybe
he definitely is, and I appreciate the call. Appreciate you checking in, Matt. 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number. 855-PATS-500. Bob is in Michigan. He's up next. Hey, Bob.
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going tonight?
Going well.
Well, obviously, you've already hit on the two key plays of the game. Very honestly, the very last play of the game. Terrible call. If you're going to bother to throw a flag, you don't make a determination, and you certainly don't allow an official to come on and try and defend a call that was clearly made on the field. It was just a horrible call. He was absolutely interfered with long before the ball was even intercepted. That's part of the point. He was held for at least 5 yards into the end zone. And there's no possible way you can't say that a guy with Gronk's ability couldn't come back and catch the football. Just no way I would believe that.
Yep. I mean, you look at the play. Listen, even if it's not pass interference, Bob, how is it not illegal contact and holding? How is it not that, at the very least?
You are correct. And on top of that, I absolutely said to my blushing bride when they had to settle for the field goal, I hated the third down call just as you did. There was no reason not to just kind of pound the ball in there because it does two things. First of all, you pick up the first down. Take a little more time off the clock. Maybe you score a touchdown, at which point that puts all the pressure on them. And then the last thing that I do want to say, people that are knocking Tom Brady, and there are a few because I've heard some of the calls and people saying some things about him. He's playing with a cast of people. This was the first time tonight that he really had some of the receivers they were expecting them to have. He's got two raw rookies that are playing, and you got a guy who was a quarterback and is your punt returner, who's your third wide receiver, for heaven's sakes. I mean, I think what he's done with this team offensively, they still have some shortcomings on the defensive side. But let's not forget that either. They've had an awful lot of injuries on the defense, an awful lot of injuries.
Yeah,
but one last thing,
yeah,
if I may add.
Sure, go ahead.
Oh, I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I will also say that it'll be interesting to see, since you mentioned the point spread for next week's game, how hurt Wes Welker actually may be.
Yeah, I think we're going to keep an eye on that all week long in terms of what happens with Welker. If it was simply up to him, he would play. He'd be in the game. But when we're talking about concussions now in the NFL, you've got to bring in the independent evaluation. And that could go, listen, there's a chance he doesn't play. If I had to put money on it, I bet he does, but there's still a real chance that he doesn't play in the game. I don't think it's going to be a matter of him deciding whether or not he wants to play. He wants to play. You know that.
Oh, of course. And by the way, you guys do a great job with the show, and I still think that the Patriots could win out. So I'm not that worried. I think they're the only team in football that might win 12 to 13 games in what anybody else would have considered a rebuilding year. The defense has rebuilt to a degree, and the offense is totally different than what it was a year ago at this time.
Yeah, Bob, thanks for the call. Much appreciated. When we're talking about the Patriots offense tonight and people that have been critical of Tom Brady, I don't think anyone's been too critical, but I'll tell you what. I think he was just fine. I think the Patriots offense on the whole was just fine. You're talking about a game tonight against the NFL's, statistically speaking, best defense. The best defense going into this game. Factoring in last night's Kansas City game, too, the up-to-the-minute defensive rankings prior to the start of tonight's game. Number one in points allowed. Number one in yards per game. By any metric you want to dice that up, they were the NFL's best defense. So with that being the case, the Patriots tonight, without Stephen Ridley's fumble, I'm going to give them a minimum of 3 more points to make it at least 23 points they scored. And who knows, maybe they get a touchdown there. And it's 23 to 27 points we're talking. So without the bad fumble by Stephen Ridley, who deserves criticism for that fumble, a bad fumble, you're looking at 23 to 27 points scored for the Patriots offense tonight against the NFL's best defense. Not a problem there. Now, the problem isn't the mistake of fumbling. That's a problem. And then you throw in some ridiculous calls at the end, and you got a problem. You got all kinds of problems. So there, again, we're still waiting on this pool report from the Patriots. Not the Patriots, I'm sorry, the Patriots media, and of course Mike Reese being the representative of the Patriots media members, the regular Boston media members that cover the Patriots. He did speak with referee Cleve Blakeman. He is not allowed to send that information out yet because it gets sent out and disseminated by the media relations staffs for the organizations, Panthers, Patriots. They'll be sending that out as soon as the information and the quotes are reviewed from Cleve Blakeman on what happened at the end of the game. But how long ago did the game end? Kev, you got an idea there in terms of real time?
Well, we've been on the air for about an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay, if we've been on for an hour and 15 minutes, we started about 10 minutes after the game ended, right?
Yeah.
So we're going
on an hour and 25. So we're going on back to 11:50. So about 11:30-ish.
We're approaching 90 minutes since the game ended.
I'd say that's fair.
And we haven't heard a thing from the NFL. We haven't heard a thing from the pool report from Cleet Blakeman. I got to say, that doesn't look good. This is a big game and nationally televised game. It's Monday Night Football. You have a call that ends like that with no explanation, and we're now 90 minutes after the game ended, and we have nothing. And as you just heard Kev play, crickets. That's what we have. We have crickets at this point. 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number, 855-PATS-500. Here on the post-game show on Patriots.com radio, the Xbox One post-game show. Or I should say the post-game show presented by Xbox One, which is the official console of the NFL. The Ace Ticket Hotline for you is 508-298-0398 or 855-PATS-500, the North American toll-free number. And that's the number that Anthony in San Diego reaches us on. Hey, Anthony.
How you guys doing?
Doing okay. What's up?
Yeah, I was really upset with the call. If you have the intestinal fortitude to call to throw your flag at that time, you better have the intestinal fortitude to explain why you threw it or why you decided to pick it up as they did. That's the biggest problem I have with it. And then there's no explanation like everybody has been, you know, harping on so far. I was really upset with that. And then I was also upset that they didn't punch it in on 31 because at that time, the series, when they stopped Cam Newton, that's when Tlaib, you could tell grimacing that he re-aggravated it. You know you don't have the best cornerback on defense for the rest of the game, possibly, and you don't put it in for 7 points. You're betting against yourself saying, oh, we're going to stop Cam Newton and only have them score 3 points when he was running wild on us on the most important down when you're supposed to stop the other team, which is third down. And that's when he gained most of his yardage on his, you know, on the run. So I was really frustrated with that.
Yeah, Anthony, you're the second person I've heard that from, and thank you for the call. Second person I've heard that from, but look at the previous drive. They had stopped Carolina. They had forced the three and out. The Patriots defense forced the three and out. So at that point, the tide had been turning. Good defensive stop for the Patriots. You take the lead. You take the points there on fourth down. You don't go for it on fourth down and risk not getting it and then give Carolina 6.5 minutes to get a field goal. That's all they would have needed. I agree with the decision to kick the field goal. I don't agree with the play call on third down. Run the damn ball on third down. Don't throw it on third down. That's where that second guess comes into play. And we just disagree on that. Steve's in Texas. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mark.
What's going on?
Just, you know, expressing the frustration. Almost as egregious as the Ridley fumble was the Mankins penalty that put the Pats 22nd and 25, that killed that drive.
What else did you think about the game tonight? What else you got, Steve?
So, you know, that was my point and my frustration. And, you know, at least in the Jets game, we actually found out what the call was. You know, everybody's still waiting, and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I would agree. We're still waiting. We're close to 90 minutes post-game, and we're still waiting for what the reason was that flag was picked up. Hopefully we'll have that in our hands just a few minutes from now. As soon as that is released, we'll have it. We'll have it for you as soon as the information, as soon as those quotes from referee Cleet Blakeman are let out and are officially released to all members of the media. We'll have that for you coming up here on the post-game show. Coming up next, however, we hear from the Patriots head coach, Bill Belichick. What did he say after this game? Also, we'll hear from Tom Brady. That's next. Don't go anywhere.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. A's Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. A's Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. A's always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, A's makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24-7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
During the break, I was doing a little math. You know, I got to gather my thoughts after these games. The game ends, we come into the studio quick, we throw the mics on, and away we go. But just doing a little bit more of analyzing what happened in this game. The Patriots, in terms of what they allowed rushing-wise to the Panthers. Now, I mentioned Cam Newton ran the ball 7 times for 62 yards. What for some reason hadn't stood out to me on the stat sheet was Carolina as a team only ran for 103 yards. So do the math. They allowed 41 yards on 16 carries to the Carolina running backs in this game tonight. That's pretty good. Mike Tolbert, 6 carries for 17 yards. D'Angelo Williams, 6 carries for 14 yards on the night. Jonathan Stewart, 4 carries, 10 yards. With the longest one being 7. So we had 3 rushes for an average of 1 yard apiece and then a gain of 7 on the longest run for him of the day. But 16 carries, 41 yards to the running backs. That's some solid work up front for the Patriots' defensive line. And I mentioned Rob Ninkovich and Chandler Jones being having good games tonight on the outside for the Patriots, but how about a little love for the Patriots' interior defensive linemen? Joe Villano in there tonight. I know Joey V is a big fan favorite. Joe Villano, Isaac Sopoaga, who is a buddy of Kevin, our producer. Kevin and Sopoaga went and got some cheeseburgers together last week, I believe. Yeah,
delicious Red Robin.
Red Robin cheeseburger, that's what I heard. And his real first name, not Isaac, but he goes by Isaac.
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers.
Yeah, Rex Ryan, Isaac Sopoaga. So you got Sopoaga. Who am I missing?
I could go for a cheeseburger right now,
yeah?
By the way.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, I think I'm just talking about the Patriots' interior linemen. They played a good game tonight, doing a good job, stuffing the run up front. And let's be honest, those guys have had problems in recent weeks. So up front for the Patriots, they did okay. And let's be honest about the Cam Newton rushes. Do you put that on the interior guys? You put that on the linebackers. You put that on the backers. I'll tell you, Brandon Spikes, I love Brandon Spikes. I really like that he brings a level of confidence or swagger or whatever you want to call it to the Patriots defense. And he's a great run stuffer. And he can make some big plays behind the line of scrimmage, which you love to see, stopping guys for a loss. But too many times tonight, Brandon Spikes seemed to just be running without really focusing on where he was running to. Just running at guys to make hits on players that were not involved in the play. It just seemed like he wasn't playing smart football tonight at times. And if he played a little bit smarter, he could be so much more effective. Because I thought he took himself out of some plays in the game tonight. And obviously, this is just based on first impression. I think we'll all go get a better look. If you can stomach rewatching tonight's game, get a better understanding of what happened there. But give it up for the Patriots defensive linemen who were able to shut down the running attack of the Panthers tonight. Not sure how much pressure they were able to generate, but they were able to stop the bleeding up front, which, and not in this game in terms of the bleeding, in previous weeks. So some adjustments being made there. We're going to hear from Bill Belichick coming up in just a couple of minutes from now. But before we hear from Bill, we're going to hear from Mark in Seattle. Hi, Mark. Yo, Mark.
Hey, how are you?
What do you got? What's happening?
First of all, thanks for having me on the show. Man, that was a great game. But, I mean, when are the coaches going to recognize? I know Stephen really is a great player. He's fast. You know, he can get through the seams. But how many fumbles is that now this year?
What's that? How many?
How many? That's a lot. That's like at least 5 or 6, maybe even close to 10 now.
I'll get you the exact number. I don't have it off the top of my head, but I can tell you what it is. Go ahead. What else you got?
Yeah, but, I mean, that fumble, I mean, the fact that flag was called and picked up off the ground, probably one of the first or not very many times that I've seen that flag picked up off the ground after a call like that was made. I mean, maybe it wasn't catchable, but at the same time, I think Gronk could have probably sold that pass interference better, maybe by trying to get the ball more. But all in all, it was a great game. But, I mean, there's a few other calls, maybe like on the 3rd-and-1, where they should have ran the ball and then would have scored instead of scoring that field goal. So, I mean, it still was a great game, and I think these guys still got a shot. I mean, they played against the number one or two defense in the league, points allowed, and run defense, correct?
Yep, and you know what, Mark, I appreciate the call, but I got to let you go. The pool report as it relates to the final call of this game is starting to surface at this hour, and apparently it has been given on a hard copy to those covering the game, those who are in Charlotte. Back judge Terrence Miles threw the flag for defensive pass interference, according to the pool report. This according to Jeff Howe on Twitter, who was tweeting out some of these details. Jeff also tweets, the officials got together and determined the pass was underthrown and uncatchable. And that's why Blakeman picked up the flag. Blakeman says, quote, ultimately, I believe we got it right. Cleve Blakeman thinks that is the right call tonight. And again, this comes back to this uncatchable. Uncatchable why? Because Rob Gronkowski wasn't allowed to make a play on the ball. Rob Gronkowski had turned back for the ball. Rob Gronkowski was completely aware of where the ball was. He could not make a play to the ball or move back toward the trajectory of that ball because he was being bear hugged. Did they miss that part of the play? And again, that's why I said maybe it's not a pass interference play. Maybe it is a holding play. According to Blakeman, he believes they got it right. And that it was underthrown, and that's why. I also want to know why was this, again, this doesn't answer the question of why was the flag originally thrown. What did the official see? What did Terrence Miles see that made him want to throw the flag? I still don't have that answer. And maybe we won't get it. If we get the full copy of that pool report, which, again, is supposed to be coming any minute, we will provide you with all of the details. But before that happens, let's hear from the head coach of the New England Patriots, the 7-3 Patriots, after tonight's loss. Here's Bill Belichick.
You know, they made a couple more than we did. So, you know, we had our chances. We just got to do a better job. Came up a little bit short today, but just have to go back to work and do a little bit better job.
What would you take from that final play?
Saw the same thing you saw.
Is he getting a little too far behind, you think?
What's that?
That velocity getting too far behind, you just had to catch up, and you thought you took the lead. Did that hurt you?
No, we just didn't make enough plays. They made a couple more than we did. I mean, play came down to, you know, game came down to right to the wire on both ends of the field, and we just couldn't make enough plays.
Well, you kind of said early on this is going to be one of those limited possession games, and was there a sense on the sideline from the guys that you really need to take?
That's what we always try to do. We always try to make the most of every possession.
When it came to Keith Tlaib covering Steve Smith, did you obviously have to tell Tlaib settle things down and play football, or try and keep him in check there?
You know, it's two competitive guys, two good football players. These guys both competing. So what's the question?
Kind of evaluate, how do you feel about your team's performance overall?
We came up short. Wasn't good enough. We came up short. We got to do a better job. Just didn't make enough plays. I'm okay.
Coach, on the final play, did you get a sense of what the flag was for? We were standing here, so...
No.
You had no idea what the flag was for?
There was no explanation given to me.
None whatsoever?
No. Officials ran off the field, and I didn't see anything. 23 yards on first down. Clock stop. Timeout, New England. 40 seconds. Timeout, New England. Here's the game. Been through that before. Last time I tried to ask an official a question about a call, that was, you know, the wrong thing to do, so I have no idea.
Don't you think you own an explanation of what it was for? Don't you think somebody should have told you?
Like I said, we've been down that road before. Didn't get one tonight, didn't get one at the Baltimore game. Guess that's the way we do it.
Second half, it looked like you put more emphasis on the running game. The Ravens
running more successful in the second half. Is that the
adjustment you made in
halftime? I thought we ran it okay in the first half. Thought we had decent production in the first half, running the ball too. I don't know. What did we run for in the first half? Do we have a stat? I mean, seemed like we had, I don't know, 80, 90 yards in the first half. What do we end up running for? 160, or I don't know.
We had 47 at halftime, 47 yards rushing.
We have 47 rushing, and what do we end up with? Yeah. I mean, I thought we were balanced. You know, we got sacked out of field goal range, and we fumbled, and you know, we got a personal foul penalty. So those hurt our three drives in the first half.
There's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, and the pool report related to the referees has come down, and I will read it to you right now in its entirety. Bill Belichick's answer, by the way, about why he didn't question the referees was brilliant, and we're going to replay that back for you in case you weren't paying close attention to what it was that he said. But here is the pool report, again, issued after Mike Reese of ESPNBoston.com and Joseph Person of the Charlotte Observer, who you heard from during the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. He was kind enough to join us. He was terrific, a terrific guest to talk some football with. So you got two excellent writers in there, Mike Reese and Joseph Person of the Charlotte Observer. They are the pool reporters, which means they are given the task of talking to the referees in the event that something controversial comes up in the course of the game. Mike Reese first asks, I guess the first question is, what was seen on that last play to initially have the official throw the flag? Cleet Blakeman answers, the back judge saw that there was contact and the defender was not playing the ball. And that led him to throw for defensive pass interference, was the initial call. End of answer. Mike Reese follows up with this question. The follow-up, naturally, what was discussed to then pick up the flag? Cleet Blakeman answers, there were two officials that came in. One was the umpire and the other one was our side judge. And there was a discussion at that point as to the, in essence, the catchability of the ball due to its location. So it was determined at that point in time that when the primary contact occurred to the tight end, that the ball, in essence, was coming in underthrown. And in essence, it was immediate at that point intercepted in front of the end of the end zone. At the front end of the end zone. So there was a determination that in essence, again, this word in essence, uncatchability, that the ball was intercepted at or about the same time the primary contact against the receiver occurred. Allow me to stop right here. I'd like to insert my own comment here. What a load of crap. Go back and watch the video, Cleet, and I'll tell you what, I'm sure he has. This is dead wrong. And this is where the still shots that are already circulating will prove that Cleet Blakeman and his officiating crew are dead wrong in that explanation. That is just factually incorrect.
In the immortalized words of Dave from Connecticut, it's bull.
Yes, thank you. Let's continue. Joe Person, Charlotte Observer, his next question. Have you guys had a chance to review it yet? And what were your thoughts on the review? Cleet Blakeman. Two things. Yeah, we have video in the room. The TV on in the locker room. So yeah, we all saw it, looked at it, and that was, in essence, it pretty much mirrored the discussion that occurred. Terrence Miles, our back judge, saw the contact. He saw what he saw, and he threw on it. And then the discussion came in with respect to the ball and its location and the defender who ultimately basically undercut the play and intercepted it at the time. In essence, the middle to front part of the end zone. Joe Person follows up. Are you confident it was the right call? Cleet Blakeman. Yeah. In review? Yeah, I think so. I'm pleased that, well, two situations. You never like to end the game with some controversy like that on the call, but I'm pleased that our officiating crew got together and communicated and discussed it, and ultimately, I believe we got it right. So that, to me, is the part that is coming away from it. I'm pleased that our crew was able to discuss it and make the call right. Mike Reese, final question. He says, is there anything else you want to mention? Cleet Blakeman says, nothing else. That's a bad explanation. That's a poor explanation. But you know what? What would be a good explanation when you screw up a call?
I don't think... And they said that they, like as you mentioned, Mark, they did have video in the officials' locker room after the game.
How do you think that conversation went?
Did have a chance to review it after. And if you still think you're right after reviewing the video, I don't know
what
to tell
you. There's no hope for you.
And I think you should never officiate an NFL game ever again if that's the case.
I'll tell you what, though. You didn't expect them to admit they were wrong. I didn't expect that.
I expect the league to.
Maybe. That's how it happens. Referees, I don't ever recall, and I could be wrong, and I'm sure the... veteran reporters that have covered football for a long time might be able to cite some examples. I don't remember refs coming out in a pool report saying, yep, we screwed it up. We were wrong.
I can't imagine the league would want to set a precedent like this.
I mean, that explanation, let me read that to you again. It was determined at the point in time when the primary contact occurred on the tight end that the ball, in essence, was coming in underthrown, and in essence, it was immediate at that point intercepted at the front end of the end zone. And this is the line that gets me right here. So there was a determination that, in essence, uncatchability, that the ball was intercepted at or about the same time the primary contact against the receiver occurred. Wrong. Wrong.
It's just
wrong.
Factually inaccurate.
That is so far from the truth. And if you saw the video, you would No.
And you know, sitting here, Mark, and listening to these Monday Night NFL Countdown studio hosts down there in Charlotte go over the play, guys like Steve Young, Trent Dilfer, Ray Lewis, guys that have played the game, you know, watching the play over and over again, slow motion from all these different angles, guys, it's like, you know, I don't know. I haven't heard one person other than Jerry Austin who said, this is a good call. That should tell you something.
It's just so frustrating. The entire thing is so frustrating. I didn't expect them to come out and say they were wrong. But you know what? Their explanation, this is how you know it's a bad explanation. And I'm kind of pleased that it is. I'm pleased, and I'll tell you why I'm pleased about it in a sick, twisted way. Their explanation is so poor with that final line of the second answer that it proves it should validate you as a Patriots fan if you think the Patriots got jobbed tonight on that call. And again, let me bring this back to the beginning. I don't think it cost the Patriots the game or gave the Panthers the game, but I think the Patriots deserved another play there and let the players on the field determine who's supposed to win the game. I think they got jobbed on the call. So if that's how you feel, and I'm sure many of you do, doesn't it validate your feelings on that call based on what Cleet Blakeman said in the postgame?
Yeah.
It validates the way I think. I think Cleet Blakeman is bad.
Yeah.
I think Terrence, I'm sorry, I'm going to forget his name already.
I think the guy made the right call and he was overruled incorrectly.
It is Terrence Miles. Terrence Miles?
Terrence should have stood up for himself there.
Terrence Miles needs to, I don't know, have a little bit more fortitude there. I mean, was he bullied? Was he bullied by his other refs? Does the NFL have to investigate another incident of bullying?
No, but I mean, he may have been just overruled, Mark. I mean, given that last discussion there.
I mean, the referee is ultimately in charge. Blakeman is ultimately the guy
you could have had
in charge of the crew.
You know, a linesman or a side judge say, hey, this is what I saw as well. And if Cleet Blakeman's saying, all right, I'm not the only one that saw this, and it's two out of, you know, three or three out of four, however many guys, they might have felt, you know, we need to go with this. You know, it's, I mean, here's one thing. Zoe just had a great tweet, Beetle, saying, you know, basically, screw you if you're one of those people that say, you know, it shouldn't have come down to this as a Patriots fan. You know what? The fact of the matter is, the Patriots played a very good football team tonight on the road, and they played them to the last play of the game, Beetle. And it did come down to that. It's a, you know, it's not like they were in the red zone five times previous and turned the ball over three times. You know what I mean? They played, other than that one play, they played a pretty clean, good game.
This was not a sloppy game.
No.
On either team.
No.
This was not a sloppy game.
It was two great teams going at it on Monday Night Football, and it's a travesty and a sham that it came down to this.
Like the Jets game, the Jets loss, when that ridiculous, not a ridiculous call because by the rules the call was correct, but in terms of the enforcement of the rule, there was zero discretion used in the Jets game and the controversial call there. But I felt like the Patriots in that game, Kev, played a crappy, sloppy game that day, and they're, I believe, a far and away better team than the New York Jets. And I felt like they should have never let that game come down to a call because they were so much better and it played down to the level of their competition and were sloppy and just didn't play their game. Tonight, they went up against arguably the best defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
They scored 20 points. Had they not had the Ridley fumble, we're looking at 23 to 27 points on the road on Monday Night Football. I mean, yeah, we have nitpicks as fans that we pick at with our teams, want them to do certain things better. But on the whole, this was not a sloppy, messy game. This was a good game that came down to a call at the end.
And generally,
It did. It came down to a play at the end of the game in which the Patriots were trying to go down and score, and it should not have ended the way it did.
No, and generally, games between two good teams come down to the final drive or the final play. That's just the reality of the situation. So those of you who are saying, oh, they should have never been in this situation, that's baloney. It's garbage.
Lee is in North Carolina. Lee, you're up next. Hey, what's going on?
Guys, I'm at a loss for words, and I'm never at a loss for words. I am a Pats fan in Panther country, and none of my friends, Panther fans, are supporting this. nobody here is saying, no, we, you know, that's good for us. That was the right call because we're Panther fans. I'm not hearing any of that. There's silence among my Panther fans.
So even the Panther fans thinks that the game should not have ended the way it did.
They know it. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it except for the one referee on the field and the other referee in the booth for ESPN. Those are the only two people that don't seem to get this. With all of the back shoulder, on purpose, back shoulder throws and short throws that are in the playbook on purpose, how do you call uncatchable on an underthrown ball? If he threw it out of the end zone over his head, fine. How do you call uncatchable on an underthrown ball? I'm not buying it.
Yeah, even that part of it is, you don't see it that often, Lee. That's for sure. The uncatchable part on an underthrown ball. But even with that, the reason it was uncatchable was because they had taken Gronk out of the play.
So when you look at the play again, Beetle, the ball.
That's it. You know what, Kev?
Yeah.
Comeback routes in the NFL.
Yeah.
Now you're just going to be allowed to wrap the guy up and he can't come back. Can't do it. You know what? Oh, it was underthrown.
Yeah.
Underthrown. No more. Coming back to the football.
When you look at the play, the ball is either a quarter or a third of the way to Gronk or where Gronk is. He plants his right foot in the ground and tries to stop to start to come back. When he does that, there is still a ton of room between the eventual interceptor for Carolina and the ball, Beetle. I mean, he's trying to plant that foot and take a step back forward toward the ball, and Kuechly is just shoving him basically out the back of the end zone. So, like, instead of being able to stop, reverse his direction, and make a move forward back toward the ball, he's now shuffling his feet back toward the goalposts. I mean, I don't... The explanation is laughable. The logic is laughable. And I'm sort of looking forward to... I mean, don't you think the league at least has to make some sort of statement, either backing the official or kind of criticizing them?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to
say
something.
Some kind of statement.
They're going to have to say something on this one. They're going to have to release some sort of statement on the matter. That's for sure. Speaking of the league and officials and making... Here's a couple things. Let me just reset here. A couple things. One, did you see Tom Brady after the game? He had quite a few things to say to the officiating crew. Ryan Mallett joined in. I'm curious to see what happens, if anything results.
I'm glad I wasn't on that trip because I would have been right in there yelling at somebody.
That would have been a good look.
You would have seen me running off the field going absolutely berserk.
So, again, back to the matter at hand. It's Dean Blandino, by the way, who's going to end up probably making a statement. He's the vice president of officiating for the NFL. So I think Dean Blandino is going to need to say something at some point here. All right, but back to Brady. He's yelling at the referees. Ryan Mallett's yelling at the referees. But if you noticed, and maybe it happened, but it wasn't caught on television, no sign of Bill Belichick chasing those refs. And he talked about it postgame. Play that back, Kev. What did he say?
Coach, on the final play, did you get a sense of what the flag was for? We were standing here, so...
No.
You had no idea what the flag was for?
There was no explanation given to me.
None whatsoever?
No. Officials ran off the field, and... I didn't see anything. Huh. Been through that before. Last time I tried to ask an official a question about a call, that was, you know, the wrong thing to do, so... I have no idea.
Don't you think you own an explanation of what it was for? Don't you think somebody should have told you?
Like I said, we've been down that road before. Didn't get one tonight, didn't get one at the Baltimore game. Guess that's the way we do it.
This is how we do it.
We're talking about that Baltimore field goal last year that was no good. That's what he was talking about there. Ruled no good. But again, show us the tape. I believe that he was right on that one. I think he'd be right on this one. But that was a big stick it to the league. Yeah. Okay, here you go again. Jobbing us with a terrible call. I'm going to hang on. I'm going to not talk to the ref because you apparently don't want us talking to the refs anymore. And you know what? Smart move, Bill, because these refs are burying themselves with their comments from Cleet Blakeman after the game. Let them bury themselves and look ridiculous on this issue. The game's in the book. Bill Belichick knows he can't change a thing. but let
it's a joke.
That's right. It's a joke, Bill. Let them bury themselves. And so far, it's working out for them. Duke sent in the haiku. I got to read the haiku. Duke writes, anticlimactic. At least Vereen is back now. Anticlimactic. Come on. You got to get a little bit more creative than that, Duke. Why is Steve so mad? He beat Tlaib anyway. I want more from him. Lost to the Panthers. Denver is an easy win. Said no one ever. Good stuff from Duke sending in the haikus.
Do we want to hear from TB12 before we go?
Yeah, we can do that in just a minute. Let me just wrap up some of the. We got so many emails tonight, and I wish we could have gotten to more of them. But we were inundated with emails and calls.
The
and
fans brought it tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got a game that ended like this. We could go on for four more hours. We could go right through to the morning talking about this. Megan writes in, hey, Mark, she wanted to give her good and her bad. She gave the good here saying, I actually thought the offense played well against a good defense. If Ridley hadn't fumbled, perhaps it's a different game. Tom Brady was on point tonight. I think the offense is back on track, and it showed against a very solid defense. Her bad, the defense. I know it's decimated, but they couldn't stop anything tonight. I'm afraid this defense will again kill this team in the playoffs. That picked up flag was complete garbage. Trying to keep it clean here. What utter crap. Penalties, way too many. Tlaib, he got killed tonight, and without him playing well, this defense is going to struggle. And Ridley, the guy is fumbling far too much. Megan, thanks for the email. I agree with about 100% of what you said, including Tom Brady being on point tonight, completing more than 70% of his passes against one of the better teams in the league. They still put up the 20 points. It would have been more without that Ridley fumble, which he deserves to be criticized for because it was a bad fumble. The defense, they are decimated. And you know what? It's bad, but I've said this, and it's hard to hear. And you've just got to come to a point where you can accept it. The Patriots, the 2013 Patriots defense, their best days are behind them. You just got to accept it. They're not the defense that you thought they might turn out to be and were in the early part of the season. They're not going back to that. You can't lose Mayo and lose Will Fork. And, I mean, it's not just those two. And lose Tommy Kelly. You can't just keep losing players back there. You can't be without Alfonso Dennard tonight. You can't just lose guys and expect it to have the next guy step up and be exactly the same. You pay those guys big bucks for a reason. You have them the centerpiece of your team for a reason. The defense, they've taken a huge step back without those players. Now, I think they're doing a pretty good job of managing it tonight. I thought they were good enough to win the game. That's what I think they were. That play to Ted Ginn, though, that is going to make me mad for days to come. I can't stand Ted Ginn. Let's see. Stefan in Germany writes in, good, bad, and ugly. Good, Brady, Vereen, Gronk, special teams, Amendola, Tompkins, Ninkovich, Jones, the bad, third down play calling, Tlaib and Mankins, personal fouls after the whistle, and the ugly, the refs. I think we can all agree on that. What did we have from Tom Brady? Let's get a quick listen to what Tom Brady had to say after the loss tonight.
How are we doing, guys?
Tom, no explanation. Any explanation talking to the man in the white hat for the call that was originally made underneath the goalpost where Kuechly did not turn around and look? What was the explanation you got walking off the field?
I didn't say anything, so I didn't really see the play either, so I don't know whether it's a good call or a bad call, but we had plenty of chances. We don't make any excuses. We could have done a better job tonight. When you play good teams on the road, you got to play good for 60 minutes, and we didn't. You know, we played okay, shot ourselves in the foot too many times. So disappointed to lose, but you know, we got another big one coming up this week.
Wait, what? You didn't see the play, Tom? You didn't talk to the referees after the game? That explanation might be worse than Cleet Blakeman's in terms of factual correctness.
I didn't say anything, so.
You didn't say anything!
I didn't really see the play either, so.
Good for him. I never talked to the ref. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, man. Oh, just once. And this isn't a Tom Brady thing or NFL thing or any of those things. Just once. I want an athlete when they go to the podium in a situation like this in any sport, just say, yeah, I ripped that ref. He deserved it. That guy was, did you see the call he made? That was ridiculous. But I don't blame him for not, because then you get a ridiculous fine.
Don't talk to me, all right?
Yeah.
Knock it off!
Oh, man.
Want a little more or no?
Yeah, let's hear a little more.
Did you realize right away that the flag was thrown, Tom? And when you go up to the official, he says nothing? They have no explanation whatsoever?
I don't make the calls or the rules. I mean, I know. It's, like I said, I didn't see it, so I wish it wouldn't have come down to that. I mean, I think there was plenty of plays we could have made, but it did. And, you know, they're going to make a call or they're not going to make the call. But we can play better than that.
Tom, the third and one play call where you end up having to throw it out of the end zone. On that play, you run the ball fairly successfully, and it didn't seem as if there were a ton of options on that play other than that one to Dobson. There was no check down. Can you just take me through that play? Was there anything else when you came up that you wish you had done differently?
I wish we would have converted it. We didn't execute great. You know, we had an opportunity. But that was a big play in the game, and we didn't come up with it. So there were a few of those where if we make the play, puts a lot more pressure on them. But that was, you know, one of the critical ones. And third and ones you got to make, especially on the road. And we, you know, we lost some close ones on the road, three of them, you know, all pretty close games. So we got to find a way to win them.
Do you feel like that last pass was catchable on passing?
He's kind of weaving in and out of there, and I just didn't really want to throw it over his head and out of bounds, so I was a little indecisive, and it wasn't a great throw. It was no excuses. It should have been a better throw. Well, especially against a good defensive team, and we, you know, we knew they were pretty good statistically in a lot of the categories, and we had opportunities to get down there. We moved the ball pretty well. We just couldn't punch it in and you know, get enough points. So we had plenty of chances. We just didn't get it done.
Different set is very consistent over their win streak. Did you just kind of address the amount of pressure they were able to get on you tonight?
Well, they got a couple sacks and then really nothing until the last drive where they had a little pressure. But, you know, it's a passing situation. So they got a good front. I mean, they get after the quarterback, but we had plenty of chances. We didn't play our best, and they played better than we did. They made a few more plays, and that's the way it goes sometimes. Thank you, guys.
That's Tom Brady. That's your quarterback after the loss tonight down in Charlotte. Patriots now 7-3. They'll get ready for the next game.
It's my quarterback.
Tom, I mean, hilarious. Just hilarious. No, I didn't see the play. Didn't see it. No, I didn't see it. I didn't talk to the ref. Like, come on. So great. He also said there, made a good point that in terms of where the ball was thrown on the play that he didn't see, apparently, he said needed to make sure that his guy had a shot to make a play on the ball. He's looking at that. I mean, we all thought it was the last play of the game. It was the last play of the game. He's trying to make sure that ball is thrown in the end zone, trying not to throw it out of the end zone because there's a chance you get into a situation where it's too high or too deep. He wanted to make sure the ball was in the end zone. It's a great point in terms of where the ball was thrown. He wants his guy to make a play on the ball, and he wanted to make sure the ball was in bounds. And he wanted to also have it be a situation where the guy who is designed to make a play on the ball, just, you know, maybe the most physical tight end in the NFL, he probably wasn't looking for him to get tackled at, you know, 5 yards deep in the end zone and then have it be a call and then not a call. And then, again, this is where we are. But I'll tell you what. A tough, tough, bitter loss to swallow as a Patriots fan, but not a lot of time to think about it because the focus changes now. Patriots are going to have to get over this one quick. They've got their game next Sunday night here in Foxborough. Big matchup. Peyton's coming to town. Wes Welker's coming to town. Should be a very big game next Sunday night. And that's when I'll be back here at Patriots.com radio with the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Bill Belichick, that's how you do it. You don't talk to the refs after the game.
So we've been down that rule before.
I'm waiting, though.
You can get one at the ballpark. I guess that's the way we do it.
I'm waiting. I want to see what the NFL has to say for themselves on this one. Thank you, everybody, for checking in tonight, for calling, emailing, listening. Get through the week. Get ready for Denver. I'll join you again next Sunday night. In the meantime, make sure you catch PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch and Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. That's coming up this week. And I'll talk to you again next weekend. It feels so good in my hood tonight. The summertime skirts and my guys ain't canile.
So we've been down that road before. Didn't get one tonight, didn't get one at the Baltimore game. Guess that's the way we do it.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand on Patriots.com Radio.
Out of the I formation with Devil in the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Next Sunday, the Patriots return home to take on Peyton Manning, Wes Welker, and the Denver Broncos. Kickoff from Gillette Stadium is set for 8:30 p.m. For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com Radio all week long.
Brady for the check with me on a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket, has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team.